Hare Krishna. We'd like to welcome all of our special guests for so kindly coming this evening. This very charming atmosphere of Anand Ashram. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Anandam Budivaradhanam Pratipadam Punamrita Shvadanam. The Ananda, the happiness that everyone is searching for, is eternal, unlimited happiness. The bliss of the soul is to be reunited with the Supreme Soul, Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure. And through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, our heart becomes purified. And in that purified state, the burning fire of material existence is extinguished. The original conception of our relationship with Krishna is awakened. And then, Anandam Budivaradhanam Pratipadam Punamrita Ashvadanam. Then we experience real Ananda. So, Anand Ashram really means the place where the bliss of the chanting of the holy names is awakening in everyone's hearts. So we have come to this auspicious place for this auspicious purpose. And this evening we have a most auspicious personality amongst us. His Grace Sri Dhananjay Prabhu and his family, Balgopal Mataji, Brajalata Mataji, and Bimala Prasad Prabhu. Very nice, exemplary family who have performed such incredible amounts of devotional service in their dedicated life. Srila Prabhupada has so much brought them into his most intimate category of associates. And through performing such service, great realizations are awakened within their heart. So tonight we are requesting His Grace Dhananjay Prabhu to share with us the sublime realizations that has awakened in his heart through the loving service that he has offered to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Let us all welcome him and his family to Sri Anand Ashram. Hari Hari.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Desatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So first of all, I'd like to thank His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj for inviting us this evening to this program. It gives me great honor to have Maharaj's association and also all of your association. To be back in India after a few years being in the West, to me is like coming home. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that the real home of the devotee is Vrindavan and Mayapur. And at the temples around the world, they are the embassies representing Sri Vrindavan Dham and Sri Mayapur Dham. And my whole family have had the great fortune of living both in Sri Vrindavan Dham and also in Sri Mayapur Dham. They are none different. These are both transcendental abodes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The only difference is, especially in this month of Kartik Mass, is that when one performs devotional service in Sri Vrindavan Dham, the benefits that one can attain by performing even the most menial devotional service is increased 1,000-fold. Also, any offense that one commits in the holy dham of Sri Vrindavan is increased 1,000-fold. Sri Mayapur Dham, being a Dhurya Dham, practically speaking, you cannot commit any offense, even if you try your hardest. It is so merciful. Even if one goes there with the intent of committing suicide, which is considered a very sinful act, just like I'm sure in this Bombay municipality, if the officials or the police found out that someone was trying to commit suicide, they would be arrested and put in jail. This is a criminal offense, to try and attempt committing suicide, to take one's life. But in Sri Mayapur Dham, the act of leaving one's body, no matter the circumstances, is considered to be very auspicious, and that living entity, whoever they may be, are benefited by such an act, whether by drowning in the Ganga or any other means of committing suicide. Even one who goes there just to sleep, I know that many of you are going to Mayapur Dham on your yatra, your annual yatra. Please don't go there just to sleep. Or suicide. This is not the recommended process for going back, coming back to Godhead. But simply by going to Mayapur Dham and lying prone, taking rest, this is actually seen as paying dandabats to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu.
Gauranga Mahaprabhu,
Jai! Ki Jai! Of course, there in Sri Mayapur Dham, you will have the darshan of Sri Sri Radha Madhav and the Asta Sakis. This is very special darshan of the Lord, along with darshan of Lord Nisringadev, Gornitai, and, of course, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is residing within His most beautiful Pushpa Samadhi Mandir. I had the great fortune to be present at the time of Srila Prabhupada's opening of the Pushpa Samadhi Mandir in 1995. And one of Srila Prabhupada's sons was also present at that opening. And his son was also present with his grandson. And the reason he was there was because his grandson had so much love. Although he never met his grandfather, of course he can meet his grandfather in any ISKCON temple. We are keeping so many photos, and in every temple there is a murti of this young boy's grandfather. And the first time he ever set eyes on his grandfather's photograph, he immediately became attracted. And as soon as he was able to talk, he insisted that his father take him to see his grandfather. So this young boy, very young boy, is dragging his father as often as he can to Sri Mayapur Dham, because he knows there that his grandfather is being taken care of very, very nicely in this Pushpa Samadhi Mandir. This building is the biggest building in the district of Nadia. And it fills up the scene. When you come from Navadeep side, you cannot help but immediately your eyes are resting on this big building, which is over 160 feet high. But this building, although it is dwarfing, you can say, all the temples in that area, and there are many Gaudiya Vaishnav temples to be found on the Mayapur side of the Ganges, this building itself will be dwarfed by the great temple of the Vedic Planetarium, which will be built in our lifetime. Actually, the groundbreaking ceremony will take place in the year 2000, 3 years from now. I'm coming from the UK, specifically from Bhaktivedanta Manor. And very close to our Bhaktivedanta Manor, just 1 mile away, are the Mayapur project offices. And there they're working day and night on how to construct this super excellent temple of the Vedic Planetarium. So they're estimating that the height of this building will reach to 400 feet. And the temple grounds will stretch 400 meters square. 400 meters by 400 meters by 400 meters. So it's a massive project. And the idea is that within this temple, there will be readily available to every visitor the concept of the universe according to the Vedic understanding. And the Vedic understanding of this universe is quite different from the present-day so-called modern concept. And Srila Prabhupada was very particular that we have to educate not just the general mass of people about Krishna consciousness and the pastimes of Krishna and the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but also about the actual creation of this universe, how it came about, how life really appeared. Because everyone is fascinated by the question, who am I? What am I doing here? What is the real purpose of coming into this world? And how was everything created? This is common questions to all of us. And all these questions can be very nicely answered within the Vedic scriptures, the revealed scriptures, specifically in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana. So those of you who have not already read the Srimad Bhagavatam, you kindly inquire from the devotees how to acquire the Srimad Bhagavatam, because all the answers that you may be searching for in your life will all be answered All the answers are there, all the questions you may have had, there, all the answers are to be found within the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada specifically endeavored for so much of the last years of his life to translate Srimad Bhagavatam. And he is known throughout the world as a very renowned Sanskrit scholar. As I was saying earlier today, that books are the basis of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is not founded upon any form of mental speculation. It is not some juggling of words, but it is a very defined, very clearly explained treatise on the sole purpose of this human form of life, and is based on the first premise, Aham Brahmasmi. I am not this body, I am pure spirit soul. And the soul is Sat Chit Ananda. It is eternal. It is Anand, like Maharaj has mentioned, Anandam Burdi Vardhanam. Ananda means bliss. The soul also possesses this blissful potency. Sat Chit, and it's full of knowledge also. Sat Chit Ananda. Not only does it possess Sat Chit and Ananda, but it also possesses Vigraha, form. But this form is in an embryonic stage. But as we practice the tenets of Srimad Bhagavatam, this Sat Chit Ananda potency becomes more and more revealed. This is called self-realization, or realizing by oneself by practicing Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotional service. And this awakens the dormant, embryonic spirit soul. It begins to stir. And the more that we practice chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the more the spirit soul in its embryonic state begins to wake up. Just like when a woman is pregnant. So life is there within the womb. As soon as there is conception and there's the emulsification of the sperm, and the sperm enters into the ovary, into the womb, so growth begins. First in a pea form, and then very slowly, day by day, this pea shape begins to take on specific features. The head develops, the hands develop, the feet develop, and consciousness also develops. And there's a story of how Prahlad Maharaj, within the womb of his mother, was very fortunate to hear, even before his birth, Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Narad Muni, the transcendental spaceman, the personification of devotion. So he was very fortunate that as he was developing within his mother's womb, that he was hearing this transcendental instruction imparted by none other than Narad Muni himself. So that by the time the 9-month period had expired, he was fully Krishna conscious. So from his very birth, Prahlad was fixed in this transcendental understanding that I am not this body, that I am eternal, I am full of knowledge and full of bliss. Of course, most of us did not have that opportunity to hear such transcendental sound vibration while residing within the womb of our mother. But still, it is not too late. Those of us who have not heard this knowledge can very easily acquire this knowledge by chanting very loudly and sincerely, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because all the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam is to be found within this transcendental sound vibration. The conclusion of all the Vedas is to be found within those 16 words. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put so much emphasis on Harinam Sankirtan and the loud chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. And His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, disseminated this transcendental sound vibration to all corners of the world, to all continents of the world. And because of this, a true spiritual revolution is taking place. This is a revolution not on the streets with weapons and shouting and banners and megaphones, but it's a revolution of consciousness. It's an internal revolution that's going on because we're revolting against this material world. We're revolting against committing sinful activity. We all know the law of karma. For every action, there's a resultant and opposite reaction. This is a physical, universal law that applies everywhere at all times. And the way that when we can become freed from this law of karma is by engaging very enthusiastically, with great determination, in transcendental loving service to the Lord by the practice of bhakti yoga and by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is such an easy process. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a great philosopher. You don't have to be very, very wealthy. You don't have to be anything. You simply have to surrender to the transcendental sound. Even just by hearing the chanting, one is getting so much benefit. Therefore, the devotees, they go out all around the world into the streets of so many major cities and disseminate this transcendental sound vibration freely to everyone. There is no price to pay. In the West, they say there's no such thing as a free lunch. But please come to our temples and there you will be provided with a free lunch. Not just a free lunch, but this is also your ticket back home, back to Godhead. Because by the combination of respecting this wonderful Krishna Prasadam, you will also be exposed to this wonderful Krishna conscious philosophy. and Krishna conscious association, which is so rare in this world. Because generally speaking, being born in Kali Yuga is not a very auspicious birth. Because the odds are stacked against us in our spiritual endeavors. There are so many distractions in the form of acquiring so much material facility for material life. Everyone is hankering for a big bank balance or a big car or a big house or a beautiful wife, a very handsome and very wealthy husband. Everyone is aspiring for first-class education. But all these things are useless without Krishna consciousness. Because these things will not take us back home, back to Godhead. They'll not free us from the laws of karma. But actually, we can utilize everything that is to be found within this world in Krishna's service. We can dovetail our ability, we can dovetail our intelligence, we can dovetail our actions and our words and our deeds in Krishna consciousness. That is the most satisfying. We're all looking for sense gratification. That cannot be denied. We want material prosperity. That cannot be denied. Srila Prabhupada said, it's not that we're taking anything away from society, but we're adding something. Just like when you prepare a nice sabji, if you don't add salt to that sabji, then that sabji is tasteless. And it's not appetizing. It's not appealing. But when you have the proper balance of salt and spices, then that sabji becomes the most palatable dish. So in the same way, in our lives, by adding this spice of Krishna consciousness, this gives the real flavor to life. We're all hankering after some taste. The Sanskrit word for taste is rasa. So that real taste, that real rasa, which is the most pleasing, which is the most satisfying, which fills us up and never lets us down, is engaging in loving devotional service to Sri Krishna. So really, this is the message of our Krishna Consciousness Society, is don't give up what you have now, but add Krishna to your life. No matter the situation you may be in, you will not be the loser, you will be the gainer. And we all are looking to gain something. And this is not a cheating process. It's not that we're taking some money from you and giving you some false hope or false promise. This is guaranteed that by adding Krishna consciousness to your life will be 100% successful. And by sincerely chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that at the end of this life, because all of us, we all have at some time or another to face the consequences that we have to end this life. We cannot live forever. I remember in 1969 when we were staying in the home of this very wealthy, very famous, very successful musician, Mr. John Lennon. And he had a Japanese wife, Yoko Ono. So they met with Srila Prabhupada in his quarters. And Yoko Ono asked the question, Swamiji, is it possible that even after death, my husband and I can still be together? We want to remain together forever. This was their burning desire. And Srila Prabhupada remarked, actually this is impossible. Because this life, we are here in this body for so many years, up to maximum 100 years, then according to our actions, we're forced by time to quit this body. And according to our mental state at the time of quitting the body, that predetermines our next destination. So he said, I'm sorry, I cannot cheat you. It would be so easy for me to say yes, but this would be a false promise. So therefore I have to be very honest with you and say no. In fact, they were going there and they're wanting to be cheated. Srila Prabhupada used to always say this, that this world is full of the cheaters and the cheated. He said, I have not come here to cheat you. I have come here to teach you. I want to teach you the real purpose of this human form of life. This is one of many of Srila Prabhupada's great qualities, that he was constantly teaching us the absolute truth in its purest form. And because these two very famous and successful and influential people were not satisfied by Srila Prabhupada's answer, because they wanted to hear something, and they weren't expecting Prabhupada to answer them in such a way, then they gave up any interest in Krishna consciousness. So we're humbly requesting you that you please hear, and you also take to heart, that you don't simply come and then hear and then give up. Please don't do this, because this is not a cheating process. This is a teaching process which is coming from a line of disciplic succession, stretching all the way back to Sri Krishna himself. This is an unbroken line of Guru Parampara. We know the source of this information that we're getting. Just like if you want to know the times of the trains from Bombay to Delhi, then you go to the proper counter to get the information from railway information. You don't go just to any shop and ask casually, oh, you know the time of the next train to Bombay? Can I get a ticket? It doesn't work like that. You have to go to the proper authority. Just like there, what, 400 of you are all traveling to Mayapur. So it's very difficult to get reservations for 400. It's a very, very big number. So you have to book in advance at least 1 month. Next year you have to book at least 2 months in advance. Isn't it? So there's such a heavy demand for reservations, for booking. So you have to be very precise in how you acquire your ticket. So in the same way, if you want to get your ticket back home to Godhead, out of this material world, this samsara of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. This is going round, just like the train wheels are going round and round and round. So we're also going round and round and round, like a merry-go-round. Life after life, for countless millions of life. How do we get out of this samsara? Samsara dava nalalida loka tranaya karuna gana ganatyam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya bande guru sri charanaravindam. Only by the mercy of Guru can you actually become free from samsara. And not that just any guru. This guru has to be absolutely pure, pavitra. He has to be a first-class teacher. He must know the science of self-realization, 100%. Just like in the railway station, the clerk there, he's got all the books, he knows all the timetables, he can tell you immediately, because now, of course, the computerized system is there too. So he can also check in the computer, and instant information comes up. Yes or no, you can get your booking. Immediately you know. So in the same way, Guru is imparting this knowledge. You have to, first of all, humbly inquire. This is the necessary qualification, to humbly inquire. Ask the right questions. The inquirer has to be qualified, and the guru has to be qualified. Both have to be qualified. Then, there's 100% success, 100% success. So this Krishna consciousness philosophy is simultaneously very simple and also very profound. And it's also very nectarian. There's a wonderful taste in the form of the holy name and in the form of transcendental pastimes of the Lord that one can read and one can hear by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, of course, by relishing first-class Krishna Prasadam. So everything is there. It is such a tasty way. Srila Prabhupada said, if you're not interested in chanting, if you're not interested in reading, then simply by eating Krishna Prasadam, you can eat your way back to Godhead. Just by eating, you can also become qualified for going back to Godhead. If you have that sincere desire for hankering for Krishna Prasadam. So I'm looking at the time and I've, as normal, gone over time. I thank you very much for being very tolerant. And my simple, humble request is that you go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, for the rest of your lives. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanande, Hare Hare Bo.
Thank you so much, Dhananjay Prabhu. We're so fortunate and pleased to have your wonderful association. Dhananjay Prabhu quoted Srila Prabhupada, I have not come to cheat, I have come to teach. They are just opposite. What is teach spelled backwards? Everyone?
Cheat.
What is cheat spelled backward? Arriva. Similarly, Prabhupada said, if one declares himself to be God, what is God spelled backward? So to teach the truth as it is coming through the parampara of great devotees is to give people direction in life toward real spiritual prosperity and truth. But not to repeat that message, the eternal word of God, is just the opposite of teaching. It is cheating. In fact, one time in Toronto, Canada, and also in Philadelphia, it had happened twice, some of the greatest scholars of Hindu religion in the entire world came to meet Srila Prabhupada. They had PhDs, They had written textbooks. They were training other people to be PhDs. They were considered the authority of the Vedas in all of the colleges, universities in the Western world, and were even considered the greatest authorities in college and universities in India. And when you have so much prestige and so much scholarship, you naturally become proud. So they came with some of their students before Srila Prabhupada. And he asked them some simple questions about what is the absolute truth and who is God. And they didn't know. Whatever they said, Srila Prabhupada would just explain that that was the wrong thing. He said, "You do not know what is God?" They said, "Swamiji, it is a very difficult subject." He said, "If you do not know what is God and you are teaching religion, that means you are not teaching, you are cheating. You are cheaters." And they were very much surprised to hear this. In fact, Srila Prabhupada told one of his servants, "Take these cheaters away. In the name of religion, you are teaching something without knowing." And unfortunately, this is the situation in the age of Kali Yuga. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Real religion is enunciated by God. It doesn't matter how learned you may be, how many mystic powers you have achieved through tapasya. You cannot explain or understand the truth unless you humbly surrender to the Lord in a spirit of devotion and hear through parampara. Srila Prabhupada explained, "My only qualification is I am simply repeating what I have heard from my spiritual master. Therefore, I have not come to cheat you, I have come to teach you." And this was the very special quality of Srila Prabhupada. He especially explained, "I will not show you any supernatural powers, because then you will be distracted by those things and you will think that is my qualification. I will simply repeat the message as the humble postal peon, the message carrier of my Guru Maharaj. And if you hear that message, your life will become perfect." This is the glories of a devotee. Dhananjay Prabhu was explaining the glories of Navadvip Dham. And the one wonderful feature that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed in Navadvip Dham, many wonderful teachings, was the glories of his devotees. One who has faith in the Lord's devotees has easy access to the service of the Lord. Yasya devi para bhaktir yatha devi tatha guru. One who has faith in the spiritual master in Krishna, all the knowledge of all the revealed scriptures is understood by that person. There's a beautiful story that took place in Navadvip, which describes a most unusual pastime in which a devotee showed his great faith in another devotee. Hare Krishna. I will tell this story briefly. One time, Krishna, this was about 5,000 years ago, during Krishna's advent. And at one time, Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he was sitting on the royal throne as king, he decided to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. Now, Rajasuya sacrifice can only be performed by a king who has completely subjugated every other king on the planet. If any person defies the authority of that king, he cannot perform the Rajasuya Yajna. He has to either defeat or accept the support of everyone on earth, of all rulers. So Maharaj Yudhisthira said, the only reason why I want to perform this Rajasuya sacrifice is so everyone understands you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because during this Rajasuya sacrifice, I will worship you. And therefore the whole world will worship you. This is the real purpose of a leader, to guide people toward the highest truth. And what is the highest truth? Devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So Yudhisthira, out of his great compassion for all living beings, he wanted to show the world in the most magnificent way that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, that my life is to worship Krishna, and we should all worship Krishna. So Krishna gave his blessings. You may perform this Rajasuya Yajna. Now, before the Yajna could take place, every leader on the earth has to pay taxes to Yudhisthira to show that they are accepting him as their superior. So he sent his four brothers in the four directions. Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev. One went north, one went south, one went west, and Bhimasena, who is famous for his great power in battle, he was sent to the eastern direction. And wherever he went with his huge armies and his club, just by looking about at him, the kings would just bow down and give them whatever he asked as far as taxes. And if anyone had any hesitation, Bhima would immediately start fighting. He wasn't fighting to be violent. He was fighting to establish the Supreme Lord. But no one would dare to fight any longer. Everyone would just give him whatever he wanted. Then he came to Navadvip. And in a place called Koladvip, one of the nine islands, lived one king named Samudrasen. Samudrasen was a great devotee of Krishna. And a great devotee has faith in other devotees. So when Bhimasena came and surrounded his palace with all the Pandava armies, he was sitting on his beautiful chariots, effulgent like many suns, with his club in his hand and his bows and his arrows. And he sent a message to Samudrasen, I have come to receive your subordinates to King Yudhisthira. Now pay him taxes. So Samudrasen had so much faith in Bhima, he began to think, I don't have much time to make any big plans. I have to make a decision right now. That Krishna always protects his devotee. And Bhima is such a devotee that Krishna will always protect him. When Bhima was a little boy and he was fed poison, Krishna protected him. Whenever Bhima was in any difficulty, he would always cry out for Krishna. And Krishna would come and protect him. I want to see the darshan of Krishna. Not only that, I want Krishna to place his lotus feet in my kingdom. So if I fight with Bhima, and I defeat Bhima, and Bhima's in a helpless position, he will cry out for Krishna, and Krishna will come, and I will see him. And he will bless my home with his lotus feet. Therefore, I will fight. This is called faith in a Vaishnava, but a very unusual type of faith. So he sent back the message to Bhima, I will not pay one paisa of taxes to you. Bhima never heard such a thing before. Everyone was giving him taxes. So he told his armies, attack. So surrounding the palace, they started blowing their conch shells and beating their drums and shooting their bows and their arrows and their spears, and they all drew their swords and they attacked. And Samudra Sen, he sent his armies, and then he came out face to face with Bhima. And there was a great battle between Bhima Sena and Samudra Sena. These two great senas started to fight together. And Bhima Sena was shooting arrows, and Samudra Sena was shooting arrows. And Bhima Sena had his club, and it was just, the earth was turning black due to the dust raised from the chariots. And soon Bhima Sena could see, I cannot defeat this man. In fact, he's defeating me. How is this possible? He was being destroyed by Samudra Sena. How is it possible Samudra Sena can defeat Bhima? Because he had such a great desire to see Krishna, Krishna gave him the power to defeat Bhima. Hare Krishna. So when Bhima was just really becoming very, very much on the verge of defeat, he was thinking, I'm not fighting this battle for myself. I'm fighting this battle for Krishna. So that Krishna can be glorified and honored throughout the world. That's my life and soul. I can't lose this battle. And besides that, Samudra Sen is such a good devotee. I don't even want to defeat him. So what should I do? I don't want to defeat him, and I don't want to be defeated by him. So in a completely helpless state of mind, Bhima, the big conqueror, who could kill 10,000 elephants with his club, he started, like a little child, he started crying out for Krishna, help, help Krishna, help. And as he was praying and crying out to Krishna to help him, Krishna appeared. But Bhima Sen did not see Krishna. None of the thousands of soldiers saw Krishna. Only Samudra Sen saw Krishna. He appeared as Dwarkadish, a great Kshatriya king. He was wearing the Jayanti Mala, and he had beautiful crown, and he had a complexion dark like a monsoon cloud. And then right before his eyes, Krishna turned into Gopal, the cowherd boy. And Samudra Sen saw Krishna with a peacock feather decorating his hair and a garland of wild forest flowers and a beautiful dhoti, which was golden like a streak of lightning. He saw Krishna and Balaram and cowherd boys, gopas, and they were herding many, many thousands of millions of cows through the pastures of Brajbhumi. And then Samudra Sen fell to the ground unconscious. And then he somehow or other regained his consciousness, and he looked up, and then he saw Krishna as Govinda standing beside Srimati Radharani. And around them were the sakis and the gopis, and they were playing instruments and dancing and singing for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. And Samudra Sen again, he fell to the ground. And then Krishna began to speak to him. He offered prayers to Krishna, prayers of complete surrender. He said, my Lord, you have so mercifully appeared just to give me your kind darshan. I raged this war only to see you. And because you are always fulfilling the desire of your devotees, although I am the most fallen, the most lowly of all beings, you have come to purify my heart by showing you this blessed darshan. I surrender my life to you. And Krishna told Samudra Sen, in this age of Kali Yuga that is coming up, in this holy land of Navadvip, I will appear in my most munificent, of all incarnations, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and I will come. The combined form of Radha and Krishna will appear in this beautiful form of Gauranga to distribute love of God through the congregational chanting of the holy name. So Mudra Sen, he began to pray to the Lord. He said, "My dear Krishna, I want to see this beautiful form of Gauranga that will appear in this holy place of Navadvip." And then right before his eyes, Radha and Krishna transformed into the beautiful, most munificent of all avatars, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki. Lord Chaitanya, his complexion was shining like molten gold, and his eyes like lotus petals stretched practically to his ears. His lips were bright red like fresh roses. His arms extended below his knees. His arms were raised and he began dancing and singing the holy names of Krishna and chanting in great ecstasy. When Samudra Sen saw this beautiful form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the great ecstasy of love of God, he just fell and offered his dandavat obeisances to the lotus feet of the Lord and began to worship him. And then Lord Chaitanya disappeared. No one knew what was happening to Samudra Sen. Bhima Sen was watching. Nobody knew Krishna or Lord Chaitanya appeared. Bhima Sen was thinking, he's fighting with me so hard and I'm fighting back. He must have realized that I'm very great. And now he's offering his obeisances to me and he's surrendering to me and he's crying and rolling around just to show how submissive he is to me. At that time, Samudra Sen got up and he told all his soldiers, "Stop." And then he brought all the taxes that Bhima Sen could have ever want. He said, "It is yours. I am surrendered to you. Tell Maharaj Yudhisthira I am his eternal servant." And Bhima Sen, thinking, Krishna has protected us again. And Samudra Sen, he may have paid some tax, but what did he receive in return? Krishna Prem. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Tvishe Namaha. Rupa Goswami said, whatever you give to Krishna, never you think yourself loser. You will be gainer millions of times. The wealth of this world, it will all perish. It can bring no real happiness, nor can it bring any real auspicious future in this life or in lives to come. There is only one real wealth, that is devotion to Krishna. Because devotion purchases Krishna. When we have Krishna, we have everything. Samudra Sen received Krishna Prema. Samudra Sen had faith that if I just approach a devotee, then Krishna, by that devotee's prayers, Krishna will be merciful to me. Of course, we are not such advanced souls that we approach great devotees in this way. But if we approach a devotee and that devotee prays for us and we submit to that devotee, then through the prayer of that devotee, Krishna will give us his causeless mercy. This wonderful pastime took place in Sri Navadvip Dham. Dhananjay Prabhu's discussion somehow inspired me to tell this story for his pleasure. So now at this time, let us call upon Krishna. As Bhimasena called upon Krishna by chanting his name, Krishna appeared. Anyone who chants the holy name sincerely, Krishna will appear within the sound of his name to free us from all the obstacles and the disturbances of this world. Therefore, Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya said, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Where there is the chanting of the holy name, there will be great victory. So let us all, in the mood of Bhima, chant helplessly. Everyone, please. As I am chanting, with folded palms, welcome the holy name into your heart. And as you are chanting, raise your arms in a mood of surrender, offering your life at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna.